Hey creators, I want to tell you about the sponsor of today's show, and it is Riverside FM. Now, I love using Riverside for the Hey Creator podcast, but we use it at Hey Creator for many other things, including client interviews and community calls at times. It is the best tool that I have found for recording podcast episodes, either by myself, here with Tim, or with our guests. There are several reasons that we chose Riverside to be the tool of choice for the Hey Creator podcast, but let me give you a few of my favorites. The very first one is the ease of use and the quality of the audio. All I have to do is send a link to the guest and they can join. There's no additional software for them to download or anything special for them to do. It is so easy. The other big thing that I love about Riverside is how it records all of the audio and video locally and individually per guest. What that means is if someone drops a connection, it doesn't affect anyone else's feed. It also means that if someone has some background noise going on or something that could affect other people on other recording platforms, Riverside isolates all of those tracks, which makes it really easy to clean up in post-production. Another great feature that Riverside has come out with recently is their AI clip generator. This makes it so much faster and easier to get those short form vertical videos from the best moments of the Hey Creator podcast. I highly recommend using Riverside FM for your podcast. And to get a special rate, all you have to do is go to riverside.fm and use the coupon code HeyCreator, that's one word, HeyCreator, for 15% off any Riverside plan. Hey creators, in today's episode, Tim and I gave our viewpoints on how you should start your creator journey. Some of our best advice, and we specifically talked about it in terms of like where you should start on your journey depending on where you are in life. Tim talked about where you could start from if you were a new college grad or someone who's a young professional like him. And then I talked about my experience and my perspective starting from a side hustle, starting when I was already working full-time, starting when this is something that maybe I didn't want to go into right away, but something that I wanted to build to over a couple of years. What we found is a lot of the advice that you'd give to someone in a certain situation was still relevant for the other person's target audience. So no matter where you are on your creator journey, you'll find a way to apply from what you learn in today's episode. Tim, you went and ruined Flannel Thursday before we even got started.
Yeah, I wish I had control over the thermostat in this room. I don't have control over it. And if you want to know the temperature in here, it reads that the temperature is P5.
That doesn't make any sense.
They don't want us to know.
Well, you were going flannel and hoodie, and now you're just down to t-shirt.
I'm in Michigan, man. Like it's 40, always feels like 30 or 20.
Very nice. Well, yeah, it's a chilly day here in Nashville for us Southern folk, or like, you know, Nashville's a little Midwest. Don't tell anybody they grew up in Nashville, but there's a little Midwest energy in Nashville as well. But it's a chilly day for us. It's like 48. So we're like, ooh.
Yeah. If I was wearing this t-shirt, outside right now, that would be some pretty bad advice. But today I know we're talking about good advice.
We are talking about good advice. Thank you for getting me back on track.
Segway masterclass right there.
That's right. Yeah, this is what you do. Yeah, today we are talking about advice for creators, and we're mainly going to focus this on new creators, but they're is going to be a couple of pieces of advice that I want to share from the more experienced creator side also. Like I just got, right before this podcast, I got off a call with our Hey Creator community. Every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, we have an office hours call and people come in and they ask questions about landing page design, about conversion rates, about setting up Google Analytics, about pricing. These are all things that like we're talking about every single day, every single week. And so like there are a couple of, based on that call, like these, I'm coming in kind of hot on some of these takes and thoughts that I have.
Matt's going to take the entry point of like the maybe older 30 plus creator who
old
has a job.
People over 30. Yes.
That's not what I meant. The professional who is creating as a side hustle.
Yep.
And I'm going to take more of like the younger creator who's maybe fresh out of college or still in high school even, and maybe creating full-time isn't a possibility for them, but they want to go down the creator path and they already know it. So I'll take the entry point that's more relevant to me, and Matt, you take the one that's more.
Yeah. A lot of things that there's obviously going to be a lot of overlap between these things. And because the way that you might be creating content coming like fresh out of college, or the way that you're thinking about it. I know the question, like, Tim, you get hit up on this, like, all the time. You're telling me, like, people you haven't talked to in quite a while, like, hey, Tim, how you doing this stuff? Tell me more about it. So I'll let you kick it off. Actually, I've got some ideas percolating, but like we even talked about, I got an email from a local college student who's like, hey, I do video work. I'm, you know, want to become more of a full-time creator. I'm just graduating. He actually sent me his like resume. I haven't seen a resume in years. And I was like, oh no, not a resume, sir. So like we talked about this a little bit before, and I know you have some, like I said, friends and recent grads who have reached out to you as well. So like, what's your number one like piece of advice to the new or soon to be grad from college that wants to do like content creation?
The first thing, this is relevant mostly to younger people, but certainly in all aspects, and maybe even actually, now I think about it, maybe even more so if you're older. This is a mental game first. Creating content is a mental game. Most importantly, if you're starting to become a creator, it's not a common profession, right? Like your friends that you sit around with on weekends watching football or go on hikes with or ride bikes with, like whoever your friend group is and what they do, most of them aren't creators.
Right.
So when you come out and say, like, oh, I want to start making videos, you're going to get like roasted. They might make fun of you.
And even though it's become way more like acceptable and like mainstream to do these things, I'm the only person in my friend group that does this as a career or even as a side hustle. There's nobody like in my friend group. And now I'm older, but even though it's become more common, it's still not common.
Yeah. So I'll sit around with my friends on weekends like, oh, I do supply chain for an auto parts thing, or oh, I work in HR, or oh, I'm still in med school. And like the idea of being a creator is just so foreign to them. It's, I got a text from like an old friend. It's like, hey, dude, nice podcast. Like when we launch this,
and
it's
right.
Like those kinds of things are going to pop up.
Yeah.
And if you can't handle like the fact that other people are going to like quote unquote, like make fun of you or roast you or joke about it, or even like seriously just like condemn you, oh, you want to be a creator? That's the very first step. And I said this before on the show, this was really hard for me to get past. Like if I were to go all the way back, I made gaming videos as a little kid, call it like middle school, early high school. If someone at school found out, that would have been like DEFCON 1. Like it would have been terrible. Like I was so,
I feel like I'm
so
listening
anxious
to a Diary of a Wimpy Kid book.
Literally, like it literally is like that.
Someone found out. I'm going to have to move.
If someone found out, it would be terrible, right? In college, you know, I got more confident, got a girlfriend, like I had all the pieces in place, and I was much more confident in myself. I was like, I want to make videos, and like I don't care what these people from my past, like whatever, think about it.
A flip side of that, obviously keep your friends. Like, you know, don't just have like nothing but content creator friends, because like the flip side of that, once you've like gotten over the initial like roasting, and that will still come in some ways, be like, you know, hey dude, I like that stupid face that you made on your thumbnail. It's like, hey man, that stupid face. Clickable face, not punchable, clickable face, is that your friends who don't do this will be such a good counterbalance to like you not getting like too wrapped up in the content creator world. That when you like hang out with your friends and they're like in HR or sales, or they're doctors, they're, you know, they're dentists, they're doing like all these things. There's like, yeah, man, yeah, there's plenty of good ways to make money. And, you know, Nat talked about that also. I like in our interview with Nat, that really stood out to me. He's like, hey, you know, there, if you're in this just to make money, then there are lots of other ways that are way more chill to make money. And your friends will be like a good counterbalance to you not getting too big of a head or getting too much into like content mode that you like forget what other people are like going through and how they're living life.
Yeah. And you mentioned it, like Greg Eisenberg, Jason Levin both say this all the time, like cringe is the new cool. Like if you're doing this and it's cringy, that you know that you're on the track to do something like, well, there's two very big short form creators from my hometown who make some of the cringiest content you will ever see. Like it's you and I both, anyone listening would just be like, oh, what are these people doing? But you know what's not cringy is that both of them are pulling in 40K a month at least from their content. Not so like cringy. How much can you like shit on them if they're not going, if they're making that much money?
Yeah,
you know, like reading. Obviously there are certain things you don't want to do for $40,000 a month, even to the people in your life.
To be clear. But
most of us, people listening, if you're making that kind of money, nothing you're doing is cringe. It's cool. And I'm constantly looking for the point in which the dollar amount or the follower amount, like at what point does it go from cringe to cool in the minds of these like skeptical friends or not friends, you know?
Yeah, I think it's been in a couple of books. I think it's the one that I'm thinking of is, I think it's Millionaire Mindset, T. Harv Eker, I think is the name. Another book like this is You're a Badass at Making Money by Jen Sincero. And they both have like a version of this same quote, which is, I'd rather be really corny than really rich than really cool and really poor. And like, there's like a version of that. And what you're saying is like, hey, yeah, you know, if you want to be kind of corny cringe, I think that's what you're talking about, like kind of corny cringe and like be raking it in, then hey, like go for it.
Just in a vacuum, if you're making videos and not making money, that's like cringe to people. But if you're making videos and are making money, then it isn't, right? Or even writing online, like whatever. To wrap it all up, you have to get over the fact that you're going to get judged for this. People are going to DM it on Instagram to people, or you're going to run into these initial barriers of like, oh crap, the people in my life are making fun of me for this, or what are people going to think? And if I know the main reason that this is number one is because there's so many people in my life who cannot get over this. It's like, oh, like that's the thing. It's like if someone reaches out to me, like, I want to start making content, and then they don't, like that's often the reason why is like they couldn't put something out there to the point where they want people to see it, or if they do and it doesn't, their friends don't like it, then that's just over for them.
Right.
And I don't want that for you.
Yeah. Don't want that either. You gotta tough it out. You gotta take some of the hits. That's one of the tests that just like all of us kind of go through is, can I get over the people in my life who aren't going to be a fan of this for me? And if you want it enough and you're okay with it enough, then like, just keep going. Just keep going, y'all. All right. My number one thing, and again, like I'm coming to this from the context, from the perspective of someone who's, you know, you've been at a job or maybe multiple jobs for several years. Maybe you're like, you know, mid-30s, you want to make some extra money, or you want to do a business, or you want to share something more creative, like in the hours that you're not working. The number one like piece of advice that I can give you is that you can only focus on one thing at a time. So when you're doing this, like just focus on like one topic, one platform, one type of content, and like don't try and stretch yourself too thin early on. So like, for example, one of the things that the way that I would think about this and the way that I started with it was, I'm going to make videos on YouTube telling my story for people who are like working remotely at a tech company and trying to grow their career. That's what I was making videos for. And I just did it on YouTube. And that's all I focused on basically for 18 months. My topic kind of shifted along the, like, as that year went on. That's when I started talking about productivity and then bullet journaling. But I saw the most success by far when I was just focusing on put one YouTube video out every week for this particular like type of viewer. I did have a newsletter, which we can talk about. So I guess that's a little, I was collecting, here's an important thing. I was collecting email subscribers. I wasn't actively writing my newsletter yet. Now I know like other ways to do a little bit of both of those things. But early on, like, don't spread yourself too thin. Don't try and be everywhere at once, which, you know, we'll talk about like bad advice later, but just focus on one thing and one outcome for yourself, for that ideal person, and do that for at least 6 months, I would say even more like a year.
Yeah, that resonates. As you were talking, I'm thinking about like where I'm at in my creator journey right now. On the day we're recording this, tomorrow, my first like reset into YouTube will come out, right? And my plan is YouTube video and newsletter, both with entirely the same kind of like script and text. And that's going to be like my one thing, right? It's the same content, just in two different places. So it's actually funny that you said that, because I'm at the point where I need to live that, you know, this YouTube thing is a side project away from all this work we do at Hey Creator, away from our client work. I am about to be the test case for do this thing on one platform, because it really is all I have time for. And I know that I want to do YouTube and I want to have a newsletter. So that's the same content, both places. I would agree. I think there's a like a glamorization of the people who are on every platform. And like when you come into this creator world and you see like Gary Vee, who's posting 8 times a day on every platform, you think like, oh, I want to do that. I can do that. I have all these good ideas and I have the time to do this. And you really don't. Especially if you hard a full-time job.
Yeah, I mean, we love repurposing. We have a whole agency that's based on repurposing and remixing content. But like the big like point that I would make here is that even if you are using the same exact ideas across multiple platforms, there's still like very literal attention cost to that that is very difficult to overcome. And it just adds extra mental heft to your plate. Number one piece of advice is like, just have one clear focus when you're doing this, one clear viewer, reader, listener, one place that you're posting, one type of content that you're doing that, and focus on that for at least a year. Because I'm coming at this from the context of a side hustle. Like you, if you're listening and you have a team where you can just say like, here's my podcast, go for it, then great. But that's not where I'm giving this advice from. As a creator, one of the most important things I've learned is that it's impossible to be on this journey alone. I needed other creators in my circle for accountability, for support, to learn from, and to grow with. And this is why we started the Hey Creator community. It's a place to connect with like-minded creators, to follow a proven roadmap of success, and get the support you need to build your creator business. For more information, just go to heycreator.com/community.
My next one, more tailored towards younger creators, because if you're a professional, you've had jobs, maybe you want to create content or that's semi-related to the topics and the industries that you work in. But if you're a younger creator, there's two parts of this, but under the same umbrella of like, don't be someone you aren't. And more specifically, I mean, let's start with the first one. Like, don't be an expert when you aren't. This was a major mistake for me. Hmm. When you're young, you think you know everything. Like... I'll say that as a young person, like there's been many things I thought I knew how to create these outcomes for clients or for myself, like make videos that would go viral. My first YouTube video I made when I rejoined in college went viral. So I thought I had all the answers. It turns out I was just paralyzed and I didn't have any of the answers. So if you're a writer, like young writers who think they're experts use a bunch of big words in their writing to sound smart. You try to teach things that you haven't lived through. And my friend Jay Yang, who's younger than me, I'm pretty sure he's 18. I saw him, like he clearly changed his content and blew up. And he used a phrase called earned insights. That's what he called it. Or I don't know if he got that from somewhere. But as an 18-year-old, for him, like you only know like what you're doing, right? And you can share what you're doing. And everything changed in my style when I can only talk about the things that I have actually done, the projects I've actually worked on, the clients that I've actually had. As a younger creator, don't be an expert because like you don't, like if you're speaking from the authority you don't have, everyone can tell and your content won't do well and you just, it doesn't work. So Matt, I'll leave you there, but there's a second part to it too.
Yeah, the other part of this, and I'm glad you brought it up, is that, you know, when you are... And like good advice, I'll just kind of tag on here. I wasn't thinking about this, but since you said like when you're younger, you haven't built up that earned insight, that like expertise just yet. You don't have like, unless you were a college athlete or something, you want to talk about something in terms of like, you know, fitness, then okay. But with when you are a professional and you've been working at a particular job for a number of years, usually a really good place to start sharing content is about the thing, you know, assuming like a contractor and non-compete doesn't prevent that, sharing content about the thing that you have already spent a number of years working on. This is why like I've done a lot of things in life, in my career, but the one that I have like built the most like expertise on is, you know, started with my work at ConvertKit and then at Podia. So I worked at startups with creators on email marketing, on course launches, on podcast, like on all of these things. It wasn't just that I was doing it as a side hustle. I was like, the side hustle started because I was already doing some of these things. And I was saying like, hey, here's a great way to get email subscribers. Here's how you can write a newsletter. Here's how you like set up automations. These were things that I had already like built an expertise on. So if you're like, if you're an accountant, if you like are good with Google Sheets, if you are like, what are the things that you already have a level of understanding and expertise in? And then start to talk about that online as the first, like your first foray into content. Justin Welsh likes to say, like, you probably have $100,000 of ideas sitting in your brain that you think is totally normal and not like not special at all. But it's just like literal dollars in forms of products and content are just sitting there because you've already done the work. You've already built up the expertise. You just don't realize it yet.
Yeah, I'm thinking of our guy Casey on our Hey Creator team. I know he's listening to this right now, and his newsletter is called Fit Dad Life. Guess what? Mm-hmm. He's a fit dad. You know,
like
his life has informed the content that he talks about. He's an expert, right?
Yeah. I mean, the other thing about Casey, just as a quick add-on, is like he's an automation like project management wizard. And like he could just as easily talk about how he understands like tools and integrations and automations and project management. He could talk about that just as easily as he could being a fit dad.
Yep. And the other part for younger creators, like first part, don't be an expert. Second part, don't be an idol when you aren't. I'm sorry. Nobody is trusting a 22-year-old life coach. Nobody's trusting the 18-year-old who's flashing his dad's car keys and showing you how to make $20K a month.
I thought you were going to bring that up. Yep.
The one that kills me the most is like these kids who are obviously posting pictures like from a family vacation. And it's like they're like flashing like their watch that they got for Christmas and like their dad's car. It's like Drake has a lyric of like posting pictures from vacations you took years ago or something like that. Like that always kills me. And like, there's a very strong incentive as a younger creator to look like you have it all figured out, right? Like you want to be the person these kids look up to. I made a video. We talked about it. Like, the 18-year-old who can show you how to make 20K a month with their high ticket coaching. I had a kid reach out to me. His name's Parker. He's like, hey dude, I'm following you on everything because I really love that video you made. I used to look up to creators like that. And I realized that they don't like A, have the things that they say they have or the businesses that they say they do. And B, like, I don't want to be like that. I just want to help people. And getting messages like that obviously is a great feeling, but it's true. Like if you are in this age group of like, I would say under 26, maybe, like you'll see these people who look like they have it all figured out. You follow these YouTubers who are living your dream life, and you're just like, if I act like them, if I fake it till I make it, then I get to become them. People will believe me and buy from me, and then all of a sudden I have what I wanted. The real way is to just like talk about the things that interest you, talk about what you've learned, document the process. Like people want to follow along with you to get there, or they won't believe that you are there if you're not. So don't be an expert. Don't be an idol. Those are my two pieces.
I like that. I like that a lot. The next one that I have is something that I wish I had figured out so much earlier. And it's asking myself a really clear question is like, what do I want out of this creator content? Like, is it for fun or is it a business? It took me way too long to answer that question, because like looking back, I realized I was doing too much of the content for fun. And you might think to yourself, well, content is supposed to be fun. And yes, it is. But when you're just thinking like, oh, I'm going to have fun doing this, then often we've talked about this, it can lead to too many like differentiated topics. People don't know what to associate you with. Like you are just talking about whatever like seems fun to you. And unless people already know you, we've talked about this, unless people already know you, you'd be like, well, he seems fun, but he's all over the place. I don't know like what I'm actually going to get out of this. When you are making this a business, I'm not saying you have to figure this out from day one. We've talked about the hourglass effect, but you need to figure out pretty quickly if the answer to this is money, and it's okay and great if the answer is money and figuring out the business of it, then that's where you need to, like, as soon as possible, figure out what's your niche, what's the primary topic, what's the ideal customer profile, what kind of problems do they have? Like, understanding each of those pieces is something that took me a couple of years to figure out. And even when I was starting on YouTube, I spent like 10 months having fun. And I do think that's important because you need to get the reps in. But eventually, if the outcome is I want to have a business around this, then you got to get focused on what the elements of that business is.
Yeah, this is so connected to my last one. And I think it's so like, so important. I'm glad you said this one here. Like, you have to know what you want out of it. When I was writing about the Pistons and in sports and trying to be a sports creator. It's because I wanted to be a beat reporter. I wanted to be like a famous like sports name, right? Then like connected to my next one, like I what the money, like wasn't really clear how I'd make the money on it, right? So I wanted the position and like I put everything into it, but I realized it's not actually what I wanted, right? The same thing with like my foray into becoming a videographer. Like everything you do, you can't like succeed in it if you're not clear about what you want out of it. And an add-on to that is that I think everyone should have their small little project that is only for fun, right? You don't even ever have to publish it.
Right now, like my fun project is like working with dads. And so like I have a little community for that and I send out a newsletter sometimes, but it's not a business. It is focused. So like it probably could become a business down the road and it's just fun. But because it's just fun, I'm not in there every day, like posting and asking questions the way that I would for Hey Creator. I'm not writing a weekly newsletter like I do for Hey Creator. I'm not publishing like all these things that I do for the business. Those aren't things that I'm doing for the thing that's fun, but it's still there and it's fun, which helps, you know, like me release some creative energy that maybe I wouldn't get in other places.
Yeah. It's so valuable. I'm really glad you brought that up.
But I'm not trying to make it a business. I'm not like, hey, I've got to make 100K out of this. Like that's different.
Yeah. I highly encourage everyone. You should have a business part of it if you so choose. But if you only want to create for fun and create for fun, you don't have to listen to us on this monetization stuff or anything like that. Like we'll focus on like the more mindset episodes that we do. You should always have a little fun outlet. No one has to see it, right? Like, or if you want to keep track of something, or if you want to follow something, or maybe you just like post into the void on a separate like Twitter account about like a
maybe that's your Anon thing.
Your anonymous account. Like whatever you want to create about for fun, I highly recommend doing it.
You know those awesome Hey Creator newsletters that go out once or twice a week? The ones that sign off from me, Matt Ragland? Well, I'm not really writing those, not directly anyway. The reason those newsletters sound so much like me is because they're coming directly from the back catalog of content. And I have the team at Automatic Evergreen to thank for that. They research, write, edit, and send weekly newsletters on our behalf so that I can spend more time on the podcast and more time in the community. If you're looking to send high converting newsletters that make you money, you can book a call at automaticevergreen.com.
My last one is that I see a lot of my friends who want to become creators and they only know like the art side of being a creator and they don't know the business side of being a creator. And I would encourage
Gosh, that took them, me so long to figure I, out.
Exactly. Like I would encourage those specific people. I mean, I can name them if you want. Like don't get so hung up on making art that you forget to run the whole business side of this. And friends who want to make the best looking videos, write beautiful words, create content for these famous athletes and artists who like you actually can get in the door there and make a lot of money, but it's so hard and like you should chase it, but you can't sustain it if you're not making money from it. Like there's nothing glamorous about a suffering creator who chase their passion so hard that they can't afford to eat, right? Like people say the same thing about artists, but like becoming a creator is the business side of it too. Like chase all these things you want to do, but you have to have the income to do it. And if you can make that income come from your creative work, it keeps you in the game much, much longer. And Nat talked about this, like you do what keeps you creating. And I would encourage like the business side of it to like come underneath the work that you're doing.
It makes me think of, well, a couple of things. My friend Jeff Goins, one of my favorite books of his, he's an author in Franklin, Tennessee, not too far out of Nashville. And he's one of my oldest internet friends, but one of my favorite books of his is called Real Artists Don't Starve. And I was like, oh, that's such a good great title. Such a good title. He told me that. I mean, it was like, you know, 7 years ago at this point. I was like, that's the best title you've come up with. I really liked that. And it makes me think about, you know, sometimes you gotta pay the bills to do the art. Like I just got done. I'm so glad I have a chance to talk about this in just a little way. Like this week I finally watched Dune 2, and Dune 2 was incredible. And it is like, I think it's a great movie. I have very few notes, very few nits to pick, but you know, actors do this all the time. They make the really big movie that's going to pay them a lot of money so that they can go out and do the art house movie next, so that they can do an A24 movie and be like, you know, take less money, yeah, still a good bit of money, but take less money for them to be able to do an art film that they feel really strongly about. And so, like, don't lose sight of that as a creator. Like, there is a business side, there is a monetization side. Like, don't feel like you have to make or take less money. Like, that was a big eye opener for me as well. It took me years to figure that out.
You see this in like entertainment or fashion or like niches that aren't like entirely connected to revenue. Like, when you watch sports, you're not thinking about making money from watching sports. When you are into fashion, you're thinking about spending the money on the clothes. You're not thinking about like becoming a fashion creator, right? Same thing with tech in a sense. Like, you can, like, you want to be these things and you want to chase it down so hard, but like, if you're not making the money, gaming, same way, like, if you're not making the money to support the thing that you actually want to do from the thing, you have to find the way to make the money doing it. And for some, that's only YouTube, or that's only donations on like live streams, stuff like that. That's a world I don't know too much about, but you have to have the money part of it, right? You, like, real artists don't starve. Like, that's, if I were to rewrite what I have on my screen, that's how I would have phrased it. So what a title.
Great title. Shout out to Jeff. My next piece of advice for creators is, as you start to build this like recurring consistency, because a lot of what we talk about when it comes to content is weekly. Weekly or daily, but let's just say weekly for the sake of like not like making people break into hives thinking about daily content on the show. When you start to like get in a rhythm and you're like, okay, this thing that used to take me 6 hours to do each week, now because I have like, I'm more confident, I know what I'm talking about, I know how to do things easier, now it's down to 4. If you want to add in a couple more hours to something else, what I encourage you to think about is like, what is a longer term goal that I can work on that will help me like improve my content or improve or build my business going forward? And what I mean by this is like, if you're doing, say, the weekly, this is what I did. If you're doing the weekly YouTube video, now you can start to add in like, okay, can I work on a newsletter for like a couple hours every week? And the other way to think about it is, what kind of product or offer could I build in? And how can I say, like, for a month or a quarter, depending on what my expectations might be, can I work on a course? Can I work on some kind of template for the next month to see, like, is there something I can add into this? So like, after you have established the habit and the confidence and the consistency, next part is like, start to protect a couple hours each week at minimum for a goal that might take you 4 to 6 to 8 to 12 weeks to just steadily build on. Basically, work on your goal setting, some of your project management skills to be able to build something that isn't just weekly recurring, like build something that has more of a lasting asset to it. And like, this could be an ebook, a course, any number of things, but it's giving yourself something that isn't quite as like being on the hamster wheel, something that you can use as an ongoing asset. You just, as Jack Butcher likes to say, like, you build it once, you sell it twice or thrice or however many times you can do it.
Yeah. What you're saying, like, in regards to like the actual business side of it is, don't work in your business, work on your business,
yep.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. It's a good way to frame it.
On the content side, like, you are building something that can become the business part of it, right? So, many creators only see like the YouTube ad revenue or like the monetization coming from like platform specific outputs. But if you can have something that you own and build and sell in the background of everything that you're already doing, like, that's massive, right? Like, it's not the obvious thing, but if you spend a month on a course in the background of your content, you've probably already built enough people to where you could test it out with some of them. And then when you get to a point where you want to, or if you want to sell it immediately, like, you just have something else.
Yeah. And when you take time to do this, the audience will help you figure out, like, literally just through the way that you talk to them, the way that they comment on things, the email responses that you might get, the comments in videos or on social posts. You will be able, through direct outreach and DMs, you will be able to, I promise, like, you'll be able to figure out what the best type of product for your audience is. Like, it will come to you. It will become clear. I want to tack on a little bit of advice that's related to like the business talk that we've been doing, because this is another thing that I wish I had done earlier. This is advice, like especially if you're leaning into this as a revenue source. What you should do is have a small thing that you can sell that's going to help you begin to validate interest in a bigger idea. I waited way too long to start selling something because some bad advice that I had, and we'll come back to this, was like, hey, you shouldn't launch a product until you have like 10,000 email subscribers or more. And that can take a while. I'm just going to let you know. And so this was something that, or I thought like, hey, if I was going to do a course, then it needed to be like 10 lessons and 5 hours of content and like all this 10 modules, 30 lessons. Like it had to be like this big thing, like masterclass level video. And I wish I would have like tried to sell a template first, or done a paid like live workshop, kind of like a webinar, but for money. Or even like, and I've already mentioned Justin Welsh once, why not again, how he did his like LinkedIn OS or Content OS, which is basically 2 hours of like Loom videos of him going through slides and like different pages on the internet showing you examples of things. Like I wish I would have done something that fits like that, with like small thing that I can do in a weekend or a week, or maybe that's your goal for the month outside of the regular posting, like to connect back to that piece of advice. That's what I wish I had done to start to one, because it feels great to make money on the internet, and it would validate or invalidate a bigger like product idea that I had. Because if I can sell something to enough people at $50, at $100, then I would feel way more motivated and validated to create the 10 module, 30 lesson, $500 course.
You want to be making money as you validate that idea, right? Like the it kind of aligns with what I said previously, is like you have to find a way to make money doing the thing. And if the thing is a $9 template, or maybe an hour of your time for start off with like $49, just some way where you can make money and gain insights on the thing that you can sell for 5x that first thing.
I have a little thing for anyone listening, because you put a very specific price point out, even though it's just a suggestion. You said it offhand. Never, ever, 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 ever charge less than $100 an hour for you getting on a call to talk about the thing that you're good at. Never, ever, 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 never less than 100.
Just if we're talking about barriers here, or like the thresholds here, never do a sponsored post or brand deal for less than $500.
I love it. Yeah. There's a quick story that always stuck with me, and I didn't start to really like believe it or act on it for like years after hearing it. But I remember Chase Jarvis, who is this photographer, and I think the name of his business is like I think he runs Creative Live. When he was getting started, the normal day rate for an early photographer, for a pretty new photographer like him, was like maybe $1,000. But he wanted to be the $5,000 a day photographer. And he would like talk to Red Bull, he would talk to Nike, and then be like, oh, my rate is $5,000. Like, oh, you don't like, oh, that's, we don't have that like budget for it. Maybe Nike Red Bull wasn't the right example, but he would tell people like, I'm $5,000 a day, I'm $10,000 a day. Basically what was at the top of the food chain for photographers. And even if that budget wasn't in there for them, then he had like positioned himself in their mind as like the $10,000 a day photographer. And so when they did have the budget, or a word would get around, be like, oh, Chase, yeah, his day rate's 10 grand. I'm like, oh, we have a budget for that. And he takes cool photos. Boom, we're in. Gosh, just don't undersell yourself. This took me so many years to figure out.
One last small piece, and this is more resonant for you, Matt. I think you are an example of this. A lot of people glamorize these big, super successful creators who don't have like strong relationships and families, who just like are solo and on their own, like single dude with X amount of money, or single lady with X amount of money and businesses and whatever, and they don't have relationships or families, or you think you have to be successful to have a relationship or a marriage or a family. And like, it's not one or the other, like some people make it seem. Like, you can still be a creator, put as much time as you possibly can into your content and have a strong relationship and family. There's like a whole sector of like red pill bro creators who like, you make the money so all the women want you and vice versa. Like,
I don't even follow those people.
I don't either. I don't either. But it's just almost unavoidable at this point to see that stuff. And like, being a creator, running a creator business, is not exclusive to having a wonderful home family life. And I don't have kids yet. I have an awesome relationship, but I don't have kids yet. And like, I actually think like being in a relationship gave me the confidence to start doing all this creator stuff again. It's like, okay, I'm secure in who I am, right? So if you're creating out of a place of insecurity to get those things, or like you don't want those things because they might get in the way of the thing you're chasing, it's wasted effort. Like, you wasted time wasted that you could have spent like cultivating an awesome life.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate you saying that. It is something that I've been very intentional about. And even though there are definitely times, there are days like, I wish that I could go really hard on like this project for another couple hours, or I wish that I did have a whole weekend to just like grind this thing out and get ahead. I do feel perpetually behind in the things that I want to do. But, you know, I also realize, and this is key, that, you know, having kids didn't really affect that like mindset in a big way either. I've always felt like, my friend Charlie Gilkey says, it's like my reach is further than my grasp, or like the things that I want are just like a little further away, regardless of whether I have kids or not. But I'll say like good relationships are things that keep you grounded even when work, creator, like if I have a video that doesn't like work out and I was to tell like creator friends about that, they'd be like, ah, sucks your launch didn't go as well. Or like, ah, it sucks to see that 9 out of 10 on that video that you worked really hard on. But I can go home and like talk to my kids and they're gonna be like, ah, you had a bad video? That's okay, daddy. Let's go play. And I'll be like, yeah, let's go play. And it's just like, it's a great way to stay grounded. I mean, there's nothing wrong with working really hard, like before you have kids, or like having like a lot of ambition or focus on a project. There are times that I wish I had been like a little bit more focused on like creator career, just like personal growth in general before the kids came. But yeah, I'm glad you said that, because it is true. Like, they make everything like worth it and give it. My wife also, like, it's fantastic. So yeah, I don't want you to think that if you have a lot of commitments, like you can still carve out a meaningful amount of time every single week to like start to make progress on that. I'm not perfect, and I made lots of mistakes and it took me a little longer than I would have wanted to, but that's, you know, that's what I've done over the past 9 years. Thank you for listening to the Hey Creator podcast. This show was produced by Tim Forkin and would not be possible without the support of our incredible team at Hey Creator and the Hey Creator community. Make sure you connect with us on all of the socials at Hey Creator Hey. And for more information on our company, go to heycreator.com and also sign up for the newsletter while you're there. See you next time.